The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
All right, you guys, well, good morning. It's actually not morning anymore. I say good morning, it's like exactly noon, so there you go. Good afternoon. Man, I'm excited. We're entering into a new series, and every time we do a new series, I get pumped up about the idea behind the series that, you know, Jerry and I spend a few weeks concocting these different ideas, and I love adventure movies. I don't know about you guys, but I love a good adventure. I mean, I'm talking like a globe-trotting adventure, right? The kind of adventure that takes you places. And when I was a kid, we didn't have a TV, and so I had to get all my adventures from reading. And so I would stay up late at night, you know, be under my covers with my flashlight, you know, reading all the fantasy novels and just anything that would take me on an adventure. That was the thing that excited me, and still does. I still get excited about those things. And if you in the what was it in the late 70s when the first Indiana Jones movie came out. I remember going to see it with my dad, and you know, I don't even know if it was like a movie for kids necessarily, but I was in awe, right? I mean, this was like an epic adventure that I was just like, man, this is amazing, this is incredible, and it's never disappointed me. I realized that as Indiana Jones got older, it felt like the adventure was less and less believable as it went along, but I still enjoy going to see. Matter of fact, we went and saw the last one. But every great adventure begins with a map. And the map tells us that there's a destination, right? That there's been a decision to go somewhere. And in Indiana Jones, that map always signals something, right? We're not staying here. We're headed off, whether it's a dangerous mission or whether it's somewhere that's just an adventure. We're headed there. And when we begin this study with the book of Acts, we find kind of the same sentiment at the beginning of this book. Here's the thing, my friends. My message today is the map ignites. And as we get ready to discover the world that Jesus' disciples were entering into and the way that he was going to reach, or they were going to reach the world for him, it really, truly what reads like an adventure movie or a script. But here's the thing, my friends. The church was never meant to stay safe. It was meant to be sent. And so when Jesus established the church, when he gathered together a community of believers, he didn't want them to sit still. He didn't want them to just talk about him. He wanted them to go out and actually do the things that he was calling them to do. So the Acts is basically a recording of the early church, but it's all the struggles and the challenges and ultimately the mission that they went on and everything that they encountered along the way. And here's the context. So this is a beautiful time for us to start this new series because this is right after Easter, right after the resurrection. And so the first part of the book of the Acts is Jesus' ascension into heaven. He's already appeared to his disciples. He's shown them that he was resurrected, even the ones that doubted and that, well, let's be honest, all his disciples, all his followers had really lost hope. And so the resurrection really reignited the hope that they had. And so all of a sudden, these people that for a weekend were downcast and they had thrown in the towel. They figured, you know, things were done with. And now they're rejuvenated, they're excited. And so Jesus gives them this final commission right before he leaves them. It's right at the end of the Gospels. He tells them to go into all of the world and to preach the gospel, to share the good news. And then he says, and I'm going to be with you everywhere you go. And then he leaves them. And so you're like, okay, Jesus says, I'm going to be with you. But then he takes off. He's gone, right? But the reality is that when Jesus leaves, he actually leaves his Holy Spirit with us. And so because Jesus physically, his human body departed from this earth, doesn't mean that Jesus' presence is not with us all the time. And so really that's the thing that drives the book of the Acts, the fact that Jesus is still present with his followers and the Holy Spirit. And so I'm excited about this. So Jesus has conquered sin and death. He's appeared to his disciples. Hope is alive again. And here's the question. What happens after the resurrection? What happens after the resurrection? What is the assignment? What are they supposed to be doing? Because the truth is, the resurrection wasn't the end of the story. It was the launch of a mission. And so with that great commission, Jesus reveals the mission to his followers. And then he tells them this in the book of Acts in verse 8 of chapter 1. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. All right, so they have the map laid out for them, and the destination is the ends of the earth. It sounds pretty vague, right? It sounds like a pretty big target to hit. But the reality is, these 12 apostles and a handful of stragglers that kind of join them turned the world upside down. They literally went to the ends of the earth. It's an intentional expansion. It's not just a random list of places where Jesus wants them to go. And here's the thing that we need to understand today in the church. And it's hard for us to wrap our heads around this because we live in one place. And for I think the majority of us, we spend our whole lives in you know, a small area. Maybe we do a little bit of traveling, but we always come back home. And so it's hard for us to think outside of our little box. But the reality is that God's plan has always been global. God's plan for the church has always been global. It's unstoppable, and it's expanding. We support some amazing missionaries. You heard Peter talk about the missionaries that we support around the world. These people have taken up that mission, and they've gone to the ends of the earth. They continue this thing that started so long ago with Jesus. So Jesus made it really clear to his disciples before he left. He told them this. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the apostles, those that knew Jesus face-to-face, that had spoken to Jesus face-to-face, now were facing this new mission that he had given them, and they had this promise that the Holy Spirit was going to come and be with them. And you can imagine, and as we read through the book of Acts, as we begin to kind of explore it together, we're going to discover that there was this anxious sort of tension in the room. There was this waiting that takes place. And we'll talk about why that waiting time is so important. But it kind of reminds me of all those scenes that lead up to the action in the adventures that Indiana Jones would go on. In my mind, I picture him looking at a map before he heads out on the journey. He knows it's going to cost him something, right? He knows it's going to be dangerous. It's going to be challenging. He knows that he might not come back the same, but he goes anyway because the treasure is worth the risk. And here's the thing. Jesus tells his disciples in Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. So he tells them, you're going to represent me in the world, but you're not going to go in your own strength. You're going to go in the strength that I'm going to give you. It's more than just a journey. It's a journey with Jesus, empowered by God's Spirit. And that hasn't changed, my friends. For some of us, we've never truly experienced or lived by the power of the Spirit. And maybe this series in the book of Acts, when you begin to see how God used the apostles and how God used these people who didn't have as much as we have, they didn't have as much information readily available, they didn't have their cell phones, they couldn't pull out their cell phone and bring up their favorite scripture. They didn't have the same things, the same advantages that we had, but they did have the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that indwells you if you're a follower of Jesus. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you have the same Holy Spirit that empowered these men and these women to go out and do amazing things. So, in God's kingdom, there's this moment of preparation. It always comes before a movement, and so the waiting begins. And we have the apostles, the disciples, that gather together, maybe in the same room where they had the Last Supper, and maybe it's a different space. But the apostles, it tells us in Acts 1:12 through 14, they return to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of a half a mile. It's about right. It's about the distance of the place where they had met with Jesus in the upper room. And when they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer. So Jesus gives them this exciting commission, and then they go back to the room where they probably had supper with him, and they sit down and they begin to wait. And you might say to yourself, this is kind of an odd way to start the mission. Why aren't they physically rolling out a map? Why aren't they putting these push pins all the places they're going to be? Why aren't they strategizing? Why don't they have a whiteboard, a little dry erase marker action? Why aren't they planning this thing out? What are they doing instead? They're just sitting there and they're praying. It feels like a delay, but God is doing something. God prepares his people in the waiting before he sends them into mission. And this is why we're told in Isaiah 40, verse 31, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And Isaiah is talking to a bunch of people who are literally captives, and all they can do is sit there and wait for God to move. All they can do is sit there and wait for God to show up. And so the disciples are doing the same thing. Jesus gave them a promise. He said, I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they go to this room, and they're praying, and they're just waiting. They're waiting on that promise that God had given them. But the waiting is so important, because we're told by Jesus in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so if they were to launch out without moving on behalf of God's Spirit and in the power of God's Spirit, they were going to be in their own strength. Same is true for us. Sometimes we just launch out in our own strength. You ever done something, you put so much effort and energy into it, and it just seems like it falls apart? And you're like, man, what went wrong? Maybe what went wrong is you didn't ask God if that's really what he wanted you to do. Maybe you didn't wait on the Lord and actually receive direction from him. And so the disciples sit and they wait. They wait for Jesus to send his Holy Spirit. See, here's the thing, my friends. Some of us want the adventure of God without the surrender to God. We want everything that God has to offer us, but we don't want to be willing to do exactly what God is telling us to do in order for us to experience that. And these disciples are in this place of waiting, and they're ready for what God has for them, but they're not making a move until God tells them exactly what to do through his Holy Spirit. So there's this dependence upon God that God is working in that time of waiting. He's developing that in us. Some of us want to skip ahead of that. We want to just launch out on our own. But remember, when you launch out on your own, what happens? You're doing it in your own strength. So there's really no mission without dependence. There's no mission without fully depending on God to do the work through you. That's the only way. The disciples aren't strategizing. They're not mobilizing. They're not even moving. They're waiting because they know something's coming. And then suddenly it arrives. The wait's over. In Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, we're told, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looks like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages. The Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So that was God's cue to make a wind, a noise of wind, right? Right as I said it. But here's the thing. Imagine being in that room, waiting for God, praying and asking God to send his Holy Spirit. And suddenly there's this incredible sound of rushing wind, and every single person is instantly filled with God's Spirit. This is the moment. The wind, the fire, the power, the miracles. The Spirit of God doesn't just trickle in. He arrives like an explosion. And here's the thing. The mission of God is not fueled by human effort, but by Holy Spirit power. Sometimes we want to do things on our own effort, but God's Spirit is the one that enables us. God's Spirit is the one that gives us the power to be able to do that. That's true for us. Many of us want to operate in our own strength, but it's just not working. Because the power was never meant to stay in that room. It was meant to be carried out onto the streets. God's Holy Spirit wasn't given to them so that they could just enjoy it in that room, so they could just bask in the power of God's Spirit. God sent him that power so that he could go out, they could go out, and they could do what he's calling them to do. So if we're going to follow Jesus in this mission, we have to learn how to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to learn how to be the ones that take the mission forward, but we can't trust in our own strength. We can't do it on our own strength. I feel like the church today has kind of turned the Holy Spirit into a feel-good sensation. And we'll even say that at times. We'll say, I feel the Holy Spirit in the room, or I feel the Holy Spirit in this place, which I think is amazing. Don't get me wrong. I think it's awesome to experience God's Spirit in that way. But if we're not using God's Spirit to do what God has told us to do, or what God has sent us to do, then we're really not taking advantage of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is not supposed to be just a feeling. God's Spirit is not supposed to be just a good feeling. It's supposed to have power, and it's supposed to enable us to do all of what we're supposed to do. That's the way God has intended His Spirit to be used. This is why A.W. Tozer says, the Holy Spirit was not given for our enjoyment only, but for our employment. Employment as in being employed, right? Going out and doing the job, the work that God has given us to do. Again, this power, it's not meant to be contained. The power of God's Spirit, it's meant to be carried out into the streets. And the moment the Spirit fills these men, the doors open up. They didn't stay closed. The message goes public. When God's Spirit fills His people, they don't stay hidden. God's people don't stay hidden. Enter Peter the Apostle. I want to read what Peter does in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a long passage, but I want you to bear with me. And I'm literally not reading the whole passage. I'm just reading highlights of it. So it's kind of a long thing. But it says in Acts 2, verses 5 through 41, in Jerusalem at this time, they were from every country in the world. So the people that were in the city at the time were from all over the world. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. So they witnessed this miracle where all the apostles are speaking, but they're not speaking in a language that's their own. They're speaking in the languages of all the people that are present. And so people are there, and they can understand what's being said. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. Others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Then Peter steps forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. But Joel the prophet wrote about what you see happening here today. Jesus is the one God raised from the dead. We are all witnesses of this. We saw him. Jesus was lifted up to heaven. Now he's with God at God's right side. The Father has given the Holy Spirit to him as he promised. So Jesus has now poured out that Spirit. This is what you see and hear. So all the people of Israel should know this for certain. God has made Jesus to be Lord and Messiah. He's the man you nailed to the cross. When the people heard this, they felt very, very sorry. They asked Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? It's almost like for the first time they're figuring it out who Jesus is. And they're like, okay, we made a huge mistake, right? What do we do? Peter said to them, change your hearts and lives and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Then God will forgive your sins and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he's basically telling them, if you receive God's forgiveness, if you make Jesus your Savior, you're going to receive the same power that you see on display right now. The miracle that they were witnessing in that moment, he's inviting them into that miracle. Then it says, those who accepted what Peter said were baptized, and on that day, about 3,000 people were added to the group of believers. Now, I want to pause for a moment because realize who is speaking. Do you remember Peter? What did Peter just do only a few days earlier? He had denied Jesus. He had turned his back completely on Jesus, and people came up to him and said, hey, aren't you one of the disciples? And he's like, nope, I'm not. You got the wrong guy. I'm not with them. And a matter of fact, he was so adamant in his denial of Jesus that he cusses them out. He's like, yeah, that's not me. And he walks away from Jesus. That's the same guy who now is preaching this sermon and 3,000 people believe. He stands in front of this crowd and boldly proclaims Christ, and 3,000 people get saved. In one day, they go from like 12 dudes to a mega church, right? All of a sudden, all these believers, all these people, and not just people, but people empowered by God's Spirit. Because what happens? When those people get saved, they also receive the power of God's Spirit. My friends, when the Spirit fills ordinary people, they become bold witnesses. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're just like, man, I wish I had boldness. I wish I could speak up at the right time and say something to my friends about Jesus. Say something to my coworker, plant a seed. I just wish I had that boldness. My friends, maybe what you're missing is the Holy Spirit in your life. God's Spirit moving in your heart and in your life. Maybe this is something that you need to pray that God gives you, that God gives you the power of His Spirit. We all have the Spirit indwelling us, but not every one of us is accessing the power of God's Spirit. And so maybe this is something that we need to begin to access. When the Spirit moves, the witnesses become bold. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Because Paul experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, he wasn't ashamed. He recognized this is the greatest message in the world, and it has to be shared. That's the boldness of God's Spirit. And here in our story, in one moment, thousands of lives are changed because Peter has accessed the power of the Holy Spirit, and in boldness, he proclaims the good news. This wasn't just a moment's decision. It was the beginning of a new kind of life. When the Spirit moves, he doesn't just create converts. He creates a community. So it wasn't just about 12 followers of Jesus. It was about an entire community of people who all were filled with God's Spirit. It's a new kind of community. Look what it says about them. So the book of Acts is incredible because it starts off so fast. It starts with the power of God's Spirit descending upon the people, and then it's like instantly they become this community that's loving and serving each other. Look what it says in Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. It says that believers spent their time listening to the teaching of the apostles. They shared everything with each other. They ate together. They prayed together. Many wonders and miraculous signs were happening. They sold their land and the things they owned. Then they divided the money and gave it to those who needed it. The believers shared a common purpose, and every day they spent much of their time together. They also ate together in their homes. They were happy to share their food and ate with joyful hearts. The believers praised God and were respected by all the people. More and more people were being saved every day, and the Lord was adding them to their group. Think about this. What did the Spirit-filled church look like? We just read it, but I'm going to give you some bullet points. They were devoted to learning. They were listening to God's word. They were paying attention. They were learning what God had to say. They shared deep fellowship. They connected with each other. They shared their lives with each other. They were experiencing answers to prayer. They began to see miracles. They began to as they were praying for each other and as needs were being presented, God was healing people and God was meeting people's needs. They were experiencing answers to prayer. They had radical generosity. Man, imagine this. I mean, these guys just were selling their own property, their own things, and they were taking that money and they were using it to bless each other. They were using it to serve each other. They were using it to meet each other's needs. They were on mission together. They all were of the same mind. They knew what they were supposed to be doing, and they were all doing it together. They invited others to join them. The group was growing and growing and growing because everybody was a community. They were all a community together. My friends, imagine what God could do through a church today that was living like this church, that was living like the first church. Accessing the power of the Holy Spirit and doing all the things that God had called them to do. Imagine how different church would look. This is what happens when the Spirit fills a people. They live differently. They love differently. They move differently. Spirit doesn't just empower individuals. He creates a movement. Because each person is experiencing the power of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, God creates a movement, and it attracts others. This wasn't just the first church. It was a blueprint, really, for every church. It was a blueprint for remnant church. This is what our church should look like if we're doing what God's called us to do. Which is what Paul was talking about when he said in Ephesians 2:20, he says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. This is what the church should look like today, like the church of the New Testament. Francis Chan said, the early church didn't have a building, a budget, or a plan, just the Spirit of God, and that was enough. Just the Spirit of God, and that was enough. You know, sadly, I feel like in today's church, there's so much attention that's given to the building. There's so much attention that's given to the programs. There's so much attention that's given to the money that funds all of that. And we've forgotten the mission. We've not only forgotten the mission, but we've forgotten the one who started it all. And the vehicle that he's given us to perform the task, the Holy Spirit, the very power that he gave us to live out all of these things, we've left it behind. How far has the modern church strayed from the original purpose and the way of operating? So where does the adventure take us from here? I think there's some things that we need to recognize. I'm going to call them adventure conclusions. And this is just the conclusions we come to today. We're going to have a lot more conclusions that we arrive at. But this is just the beginning of our adventure as we work our way through the book of Acts. So here you go for today. The church is not called to safety. It's called to mission. So if you think that following Jesus just means being comfortable and safe and never risking anything, never feeling out of your comfort zone, then you're wrong. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to step out of our place of comfortability and into a place of many times discomfort and sometimes ridicule. You weren't saved to sit. You were sent. Jesus didn't save your soul so that you could just sit there and enjoy him. He gave you purpose. He filled you not only with the Spirit, but he filled you with a purpose. The same Spirit that started the mission still empowers it today. I think this is the hardest one for us to grasp, and I think it's the most important to recognize that the same Holy Spirit that gave these men the ability to speak in the languages they didn't know and bear witness to all those people, the same Spirit that empowered Peter to get up with boldness and proclaim the gospel and 3,000 people come to know Jesus, the same Spirit, as we're going to discover, that sends these people all over the world, the known world at the time, that's the same Spirit that resides in you. That's the same Holy Spirit that you were given as a gift when you began your relationship with Jesus. And so Jesus' church today should look very different than it does. My friends, this isn't just their story, it's ours. Sure, this is the first church. This is the beginning of it all. But it's not just their story. It's our story because we're a result. We wouldn't be here today gathered in this room if it wasn't for these first believers and what they did with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit that was given to them. If they hadn't done what they did in God's power, we wouldn't be here doing what we're doing. I'm going to leave you with this final quote. God's Spirit was not given to make us comfortable, but to make us courageous. Tim Keller said that, and I fully agree, 100%. It's interesting to me that we were promised that we would be sent a comforter. You know, that's who Jesus described the Holy Spirit as. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter. But the comforter wasn't about making us comfortable. The comfort was about us having peace and experiencing the presence of God every day of our lives. That's the comfort. And so if you have that comfort in your heart, that peace in your heart, then you're willing to do risky things for Jesus. Then you're willing to go on the adventure. then you're willing to face the challenges, whatever it is that's out there waiting for you, in pursuit of the mission to share the good news with all the people that have never heard. And that's what we're called to do. Let's bow our heads. I want to just close our time in a word of prayer it's more than just a prayer, but it's really an accepting of an invitation that Jesus gave his followers when he said, I'm going to send you to the ends of the earth, that I want you to take the good news to people that have never heard it. Would you be willing today to say yes to that invitation, to that commission, to that adventure? This is something you have to ask yourself in your own heart, because it's really easy for you to get excited about somebody else serving Jesus and say, oh yeah, I want to do that too. But each one of us has to make a decision that we're going to answer the call, and by the power of God's Spirit, we're going to go out and change the world. And you may think to yourself, man, I'm just one person. I don't have very much money. I don't have very much influence. How am I going to change the world? The reality is, God has given you the ability to change the world around you. Your circle of influence, the people that are in your life, that's where it starts. And then that ripple effect. Trust God's Spirit to do the work. Trust God's Spirit to fulfill the promise that God has given us. And so, Father, as we sit here today, not unlike those few disciples that sat in that room waiting for you to move, for you to send your Spirit, there's one big difference. We have your Holy Spirit in us. And so, Father, right now I pray for each and every person in this room that you would help us to experience the power of God's Spirit. That you would help us to experience the Holy Spirit in a way that we never have before, so that we can go out and do what you're calling us to do. And our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here today and you would say yes, maybe for the first time, you would say yes to the call to take the good news first to the people around you, and then let God's Spirit expand that to the world. But it starts with your heart and your decision to say yes to him. I want to give you just a moment. It's a big ask. I realize that. You've got the map laid out in front of you. Maybe you've got that feeling in your gut that right before the adventure begins, just say yes. Father, thank you. Thank you for this powerful reminder of the way your Holy Spirit moved in your brand new church. And I pray, Father, that your church today would carry on in the same manner. We would carry the mission, we'd carry the message into the streets, that it wouldn't stay in this room, but it would go out into the world that we know, the world that we experience every day. And that you would give us your Holy Spirit to do that work. Thanks, Father. We love you. It's in your Son's name we pray these things. Amen. Well, guys, you know, this is the Sunday after Easter, and I think about the disciples that were kind of going off that high of experiencing the resurrection. And sometimes we're the same way. You know, we come off of Easter, we're like, oh, man, that was great. Really felt God moving. And then we just kind of sort of settle into our lives. You know, it's kind of like we go back down off the mountain and we're just like, okay, what's changed? So this is an invitation for something to change, and it has to start in our hearts. And so my hope and my prayer for you is that you say yes to Jesus. And it's something you have to say every day, to say yes to God's Holy Spirit, to use you to reach the people around you. Can we do that together? Awesome. Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You thought of us before.